You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Hello and welcome into the Coast to Coast Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Craycraft, and I'm thrilled to be joined by, I think this is your second time on, right? Matthew Cardenas. How are you, Matthew?
It's good to be back. I enjoy listening to y'all. I enjoy being on the show, so I appreciate you having me back on.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. We're going to be doing a little NBA Africa game recap. I know that's one of the silliest podcasts anyone has ever done, is reviewing and basically useless expedition game, but that's what we do here.
It was a pretty good game. Like, I mean, I think it was. I mean, I guess for any NBA junkie, you kind of appreciate whatever basketball you're going to get in August. But
especially after watching Summer League too, where now we get to see these highly skilled players. It's better.
I mean, and they were actually trying. Like I think this was more competitive than the All-Star game probably. Just not as high scoring, obviously, because they were trying more.
No, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that's true. Before we do get into that, though, I do, before we get to the end of the show, I want to give you a chance to plug your new podcast.
Oh, yeah, man. By the way, there might be some sound coming. I got some people working in my house, working on my yard, so there might be some knocking, but they'll just have to deal with it. I just started the All Day Sports Talk podcast with another friend of mine on Twitter. We just started... earlier this week, today's Saturday, we had our first episode go up Wednesday. That was just an intro episode. We had a podcast go out Thursday, and today's Saturday, and we'll have one going out today as well, so just be on the lookout for that. It's a lot of fun. We kind of try to touch on every sport, which is, like, really hard for me, dude, because
yeah,
I know for this next episode we're talking about soccer, and I literally have no idea what I'm doing. But, I mean, it's a lot of fun, so I enjoy it. You know, I can tell, like the joy that you have from having your own podcast, and like now that I have my own, like I understand where you're coming from, because it's so much fun.
It is a lot of fun. It's an extremely crowded place, overcrowded area, but because basically nowadays everyone has their own podcast, but it is a lot of fun, and it's a nice change of pace from writing. But back to the basketball. Yeah, I really did enjoy that game. I just woke up and I saw someone tweet out, "Hey, NBA Africa game today," and I'm like, oh, I'll check it out, and I ended up getting pretty into it. Had some of my favorite players in it. CJ McCollum's probably one of my top three players in the entire league to watch, just because I love his craftiness, just the way he works to get every bucket. It's so fun to watch for me. So that was really a treat. And then we saw Moutier, Oladipo. They both performed very well for Team Africa, and Team World didn't end up winning this. This is the second straight game that they've won. They won 108-97. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I mean, I think overall, the best part of the game is why they're doing it. You know, sure, all the NBA right. players, the coaches are all going to Africa, trying to help out these kids, trying to get them better situations, giving them shoes, having clinics, building houses. So, I mean, the basketball part is fun, but I think overall it's more about helping them over there. But I mean, of course, you know, they all love basketball. It's sold out in record time. Like, it was a full crowd at that game.
Right. And
it was fun to watch McCollum. Like he didn't score that much, but he's been working out a lot. I forgot, there's this one NBA trainer that works out a lot of NBA athletes over the summer. And I saw a drill of McCollum doing... he did a dribbling drill for like 2 minutes, and it was one of the most intense dribbling drills. Yeah, the one where he's like all the way down and then keeps going up slowly. His handles looked insane today, and he had some really nice passes.
Yeah, he found who was it cutting who almost had that poster. There was one guy who had he was going up on, I think it was Alexis Ajinsa. But McCollum found him on a no look.
Oh, was brilliant. I think that was Jaylen Brown.
Yeah,
and it was on Salah Mejri, and his footwork looked really good too. He had a lot of he had two really nice fakes to the outside, and then just cut right back in and finished. Like, man, he looks really good.
That's always been the strength of his game, though. That's the way he scores. He doesn't have the same athleticism as his partner Dame Lillard, but He's unbelievable to watch. He's got the same thing that Harden does, and that he just like kind of lulls people to sleep and has these couple moves that gets a defender at least once every game.
He plays really slow, which is kind of a good thing though. Like he never really tried to do anything out of his range or repertoire. Like he's always just stuck to what he knows, because I mean he's been undersized his entire career, so he has to find ways to shoot over the defender or just like you said, lull them to sleep. Because I mean, if he goes fast, I mean, it's like there's so much athleticism in today's NBA that he's going to get blocked every time if he tried going as fast as he could.
Yeah, that's not his game at all. He does do it different. That's what the undersized thing is a big part of that, and he was a lot of fun to watch. But I think we've already gone too long without talking about the MVP of the Team Africa game. That was Victor Oladipo. He put up, 28, 9, and 5. To be named MVP even in a losing effort, but he was really impressive. I saw one Indiana writer who already said he's pretty excited to see him play, and he's going to be one of the focal points of that offense. And he got a lot of touches next to Russ, but playing with just him and Miles Turner as the two focal points is going to be really fun to watch.
His jumper looked a lot better, and I was watching it and I was thinking to myself, like, why couldn't you have been this good for Oklahoma City? I mean, I kind of get it, because Russ just wasn't going to give up the ball as much. That's just because, like, Russ was just on a mission to just have it all to himself this past season, which I get. But Oladipo looked improved. Like, his jumper looked a lot better. Like the form looked better. The release looked a lot smoother. And I just thought it looked really good. And his athleticism has always been there. And he had some really nice finishes as well.
He is a guy who... I don't know how much he can really carry an offense, but if he continues to work at that, I think that makes him a whole different level of player. He's kind of built up as like a supreme defender, but really he's just like barely above average. Yeah. So he's basically, when you think about it like that, outside of his athleticism, he really doesn't have anything that really stands out. So that's something that will be key, because he's getting paid $24-25 million a year.
And, is he really?
As a centerpiece. He does have a good paycheck.
He does have a good contract. That's why he got traded. That makes sense.
Right. That's why the trade for the Thunder was good either way. Because if Paul George stays, then you get Paul George. But if Paul George leaves after a year, it's still a salary dump. So for a player who's not that good. So that's what was in it for the Thunder. And that's why people questioned it on the Pacers side. But man, he's got a lot of pressure on him, I think, especially in a place like Indiana, who hasn't really taken a step back and rebuilt in a long time. They have a chance to do that if Turner and Oladipo can't continue to take steps forward.
I mean, I think if anything, it might be good for Oladipo. I mean, you have to think about it. What's going to kind of suck for him, though, is he was on Orlando, really just not really good teams at all. Went to Oklahoma City, tasted success for one season, and now he's going back to being probably... I don't think Indiana's going to make the playoffs this year. I don't really see it happening, but I think it could be a good growing situation for him. You know, maybe just being, especially it's in a low-key area. Like, Indiana's not a big market. Their attendance isn't great. So I think it might help him it might just be a change of scenery that will fix him.
He's back where he went to school, too, because he went to Indiana. So,
that honestly could help them. Like, just knowing that, I mean, he's already familiar with the area, so I think it could help him a lot.
Right. Who else is even on that team anymore?
Indiana?
Yeah.
Still have Al Jefferson. They lost Jeff Teague. They lost Monte Ellis. They still have Thad Young. They got Darren Collison. Bogdanovic. It's not a good team.
No, not at all. That bottom of the Eastern Conference is going to be something.
I'm pretty sure we could compete in there, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. Probably someone surprising will take a step up, but that's a whole nother podcast. It's a long season, so we can talk about that later. The other guy who really stood out was Emmanuel Mudiay, the Nuggets guard, who last season was nothing short of abysmal, I would say. I watched a good amount of Nuggets basketball, and he was no good. He didn't really improve much from his rookie season, still made those rookie mistakes.
He was worse.
Yeah, that's very true. He couldn't finish inside, which he did very well today. He couldn't shoot from the outside, which he didn't really do today either. He was 2 of 8 from 3. But encouraging signs a little bit there for Nuggets fans, who the point guards really is still that weak position for that team as they try and make a push in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and honestly, I wouldn't start him at point guard right now. If I was Denver, I'd probably give it to Jamal Murray, just because Jamal Murray is...
Murray's not going to start either. It's going to be Jameer Nelson for the beginning.
See, man, like that... I don't know.
He's not bad.
No, not at all. He's a really solid veteran player. I mean, I just think Jamal Murray is probably the best offensive weapon for all of them, for the Denver going forward, but...
He probably will be halfway through the season for sure.
But Moutier, he had some... Like you said, he had some really nice finishes at the rim today. Like I get it was an exhibition game, but... I mean, I think a big takeaway you can take from these exhibition games is you can look at some of the stuff players have worked on over the summer, and finishing has to be one of the things Moutier worked on. And his jumper... I mean, they weren't going in, but I think his form looked a little better because, I mean, that's always been his biggest knock on his game is the dude cannot shoot a ball to save his life.
Right.
But I think it looked a little better today. I mean, probably the biggest takeaway from his game today was he finished really well. Oh, and he was a wizard passing the ball today. He had 9 assists?
9, yep.
Like, he had one pass to, it was to Sefolosha in the corner at the end of the game. And it was a bullet pass, and I was like, I've never seen this from him before. Never.
Yeah, he's always had that court vision that's really good. He's just got to continue to work on that. His shooting would have been better if it weren't for those last two threes in which he basically airballed off the back of the backboard. And he just kind of threw those up because it was late in the game. But he's going to be a really interesting piece. And this is a huge year for him, his third year. I've heard that last summer what he did is he went back home, he spent time with family, and this year that the Nuggets asked him to, hey, stay in Denver a little bit, train with NBA-level coaches, and I think that could really make a difference for him. But still, just so much pressure on that kid.
If he's not improved at all, and we get to, like, February, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded. The thing is, I don't know who's going to want to pick him up, you know?
Yeah, who would want... Yeah, that's the thing is, who would really want that? That's a guy that, like, last year's Brooklyn would like, just taking a shot at, but that Brooklyn team has all sorts of guards. But the Nuggets are hoping that he does work out, and they don't have to worry about that. So
It could pay off a lot for Denver if he does well, because Murray's already kind of blossoming. Yeah. And so I don't really know if Moutier is ever going to be able to start, because I think that two guard is kind of given to Gary Harris. And Moutier, he doesn't have the shooting to play two. So, I mean, it would be kind of hard. He would kind of have to only start at point. So he's going to have to really improve if he wants to take that from Jamal or if he wants to take it from Jameer, depending who's starting.
Sure. The Nuggets are going to be a very fun team to watch. They just got to play defense next year. Who else really stood out to you in this one outside of – those are kind of the main names. It's always fun to see Kristaps play. He hit someone who was guarding him with a vicious crossover and just nailed a mid-range jumper in like the second quarter. And he's just still insane. And his game of horse with Dirk was fun to watch on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
But Kristaps is a treasure.
Andre Drummond, can we please talk about how many threes he took today? I think he took five or six. And, like, the first one, he made one. I think it was the first one he shot.
I saw the one he made.
Whenever he made that, I was like, that looks better than his free throws.
It does.
Oh, man.
It's because he doesn't think about it.
I know, because, can you imagine what Stan Van Gundy was thinking whenever he was shooting? He was probably like, oh, my gosh, don't tell me he's added this to his game. I mean, they didn't look good, don't get me wrong. We even had Hackett Drummond at the end of the game. That was really funny. another player that kind of stood out to me, Jaylen Brown was pretty solid in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was. He's a lot of fun. That I still love him. I didn't think he should be the third pick last year, but now I agree with the pick just because his athleticism is good and he seems to be a really smart player. But man, the Celtics are at a logjam out on the wing, which they're probably the only team in the NBA that can really say that, which isn't a bad thing at all. Because a lineup of Hayward, ooh, Brown, Tatum, Crowder, and Horford.
That is long and athletic.
Yeah, and pretty much switchable all around, so that's fun.
I mean, that's kind of what Brad Stevens is looking for. I mean, he's kind of said, you know, my players are going to play positionless basketball. Because there's probably about maybe 5 or 6 players on Boston that can play 2 to 4.
Yeah, and it would have been – yeah, and Marcus Morris, I forgot about him. Because We never talked about the Bradley Morris trade, but it's an interesting one. I know why the Celtics did it, but I still think Bradley's a much, much better player than Morris, and I know.
Oh really? There's a lot more to it than that. That kind of makes sense. I mean, Bradley's probably a better defender too, like which is like the biggest thing, and probably a better shooter. So that actually makes sense. But it was just a fun game. You know, they actually tried really hard, which I mean, like I appreciate that because, you know, first off, I don't know how happy the fans would have been. You know, you go all the way to Africa, and you're there for those fans who probably don't get to see. Who probably like that's the only time they get to see NBA games, and you know, if the players didn't try hard. You know, it would have been like, okay, well, we kind of paid all this for nothing. Kyle Lowry was really nice in the clutch in the last few possessions. He had like five straight points at the end of the game, and I was like, all right, if you can do this in the playoffs, that'd be really nice, Kyle.
right. When you stop thinking about Kyle Lowry, you watch him play, and you're like, wow, I remember why that guy's so damn good.
DeMarcus Playoff Cousins Lowry. Looked really athletic today. This was the skinniest, athletic he's ever looked. Like, he had some, like there was one steal he had on an inbounds play, and he just grabbed it really quick, and I was like, I've never seen DeMarcus move that quick before.
Yeah, he's going to be fun. Oh, wow, until you start talking about it, you don't realize how excited you are for the NBA season, and the Boogie Davis experiment rolling into the second season with Gentry still there. It's obviously crucial since Cousins is going to be a free agent next year, but there's a lot of potential there. And if they were in the East, I think people would be all over them as like the dark horse, like what Minnesota was last year for people. Just in they could turn it on, and if they figure it out, it could be lethal. But
New Orleans. You know, after I look at it now, I'm just kind of reading it, like looking into it as, like, it's gonna look really bad if they don't make the playoffs. I get the East is really good, but you gotta you have to at least win like 45 games. You know, if you don't make the playoffs, you win like 45 to 48 games. I mean, you got to be somewhat satisfied.
What did you see last year that made you think there's any chance with being able to do that?
I think maybe we just have a full training camp under Boogie and AD. Just to give him one training camp, a full training camp, because I mean they literally added Boogie on the fly, and so
it's true.
If you do this,
they just had no one on the wing too.
Yeah, I mean they have. I think another thing that's going to help is Jrue Holiday is going to move to the two, which I think he's probably better at than being a facilitator at the one. And I think Rondo is going to... I actually think Rondo is going to do really well. I'm still a Rondo stan, because I think he can actually produce in today's NBA. So
they got Rondo.
Yeah, so I think what he'll do is... I mean, Boogie loves Rondo. So I think that'll make it a little easier, because, I mean, Boogie and Rondo played really well together in Sacramento.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I think... And you got anything else to touch on before we wrap this sucker up?
You know, it's kind of sad that now we got to wait till October to watch basketball again, but this will do, I guess.
Early September, first preseason.
It's in September?
Into that. I mean, because the season opens earlier this year. It opens 2 weeks earlier, so like middle of October is... Oh,
please, God, I hope we get some. I hope. I don't care if it's preseason, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, it's something. But by that time, we'll have football, so it won't be as dry as it is right now.
But, that is true. But yeah, man, that's all I got.
Thank you again for joining me, Matthew. This was fun for a little midi pod, review some summer basketball. And I hope everyone does get to subscribe to your podcast. It's not just basketball, it's everything. What is it, All Day Sports? All Sports.
All Day Sports Talk.
There you go. And you can follow you on Twitter at what?
C-A-R-D-E-N. A-S-M-A-L-W-O-S. Cardenas, M-A-L-W-O-S.
There you go. I'm surprised you still have the L-W-O-S on there.
I'm still with y'all, man.
I know. You're still part of it, but you're on to some bigger things as well. So
I appreciate we'll it, man.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and make sure to subscribe to our show on Twitter at Coast to Coast Pod. The number 2, not the word. We're trying to get it on iTunes, but other than that, we will talk to you guys sometime soon.